from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Yeah, there should be some passion. This doesn't have to be boring.
Boring.
Hey, one thing the game needs is more people like you. You.
Still have grown men run around tight pants.
It's Mookie Betts.
It's Daniel Bard.
It's Steve Aoki.
Here's Saul Tlamakia.
This is Brock Holt.
Hey, this is John Lester.
Baseball.
Baseball isn't boring.
Welcome to Baseball Isn't Boring. Here's your host, Rob Radford.
Baseball isn't boring because of great storylines in spring training. Well, one of the biggest storylines in all of spring training is Chris Sale coming back. Chris Sale, we know, was once the savior for the Boston Red Sox, the guy coming from the White Sox in a big trade that included Yoan Moncada, that included Michael Kopech, that evidently or ultimately led to 2018 World Series. But, in the last three seasons, Sale has barely pitched due to injuries, due to Tommy John, all of that. The most recent one where he fell off his bike. He had come back from Tommy John. He had broke his pinky. He's coming back from the pinky, and then he fell off his bike, and then season over. Now, you have a different Chris Sale. And when I say a different Chris Sale, you're going to want to listen to Chris Sale to understand exactly what we're talking about. So I sit down with Chris for a good amount of time, and we talk about a lot of things. We talk about where baseball is, where it's going, and he has some really, really interesting insights in terms of how baseball landed where it landed and why it was so important it landed at this place. In other words, the cheating, the technology, all of that, it was getting out of control. And Chris Sale addresses that. And when he addresses stuff, it's not halfway. I mean, it's very, very pointed. Very, very pointed stuff about performance-enhancing drugs. Very pointed stuff about technology, where it was going. And just, again, where baseball has landed. And when we get into his situation. And with his situation, there were some very, 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 very honest takes from him. In terms of his lot in life. Remember, this is a guy who, as I said before, was the guy, the savior, the top of the rotation, the guy who, you know, I can't believe the Red Sox were able to trade for him, the guy who ends up signing the contract that pays him $30 million a year. That guy in that clubhouse. Now, different guy. Instead of going on to explain this, I just want you to listen to him. I want you to listen to his tone. I want you to listen to his words. I want you to listen to his message. All of that. All right. Baseball Isn't Boring podcast. It's keeping coming all week long, all month long, all year long. Subscribe, tell your friends, listen, rate, review. We're steaming on into the regular season. We're cruising through spring training right now, giving you all these interviews. Earlier in the week, Jazz Chisholm, Trevor Story. Yesterday, we had Sam Dykstra of MLB Pipeline talking about what's what when it comes to the prospects, the rookies of the year, make you a smarter baseball fan. And today, about as honest conversation as you're going to find with one of the most interesting guys in baseball, and that's Chris Sale.
I think, obviously, the rules changing. They're cracking down on things and trying to speed things up, and just I think they're trying to get more purity in the game. You know, years ago it was the steroids, and then, you know, we got the sticky stuff, and then the technology, or I guess it was technology before the sticky, with the sign stealings, right, and then the sticky stuff. So it kind of looks like they're trying to get it back to, you know, playing high school baseball with bigger stakes, which I appreciate.
Yeah, so when you came up, were you, and you know what baseball is, you know what baseball is in high school, you know what baseball is in college, and then you have a brief time in the minors, but like, where you're like, oh my goodness, there's a lot going on here, you know, whether it's all the stuff that you're talking about, right?
Yeah. Obviously, like, the competition is, it's second to none. Like, you're not going to find this competition anywhere else in the world. So I think they're trying to preserve that, keep the purity of that, you know, like, we get drug tested more, which is great, you know, because there's still guys doing it. There's still guys cheating in this game with the technology. It was proven. Guys were, you know, people were doing it, like, around the league. Even some very surprising teams doing it, you know. But, you know, the sticky stuff. There's obviously been enough pitchers now that have come out and spoken about it, and you kind of know who's who.
Right.
And for me, if this guy's doing steroids and this guy's doing, you know, putting sticky stuff on his hands and this guy's using technology to gain an advantage, that just hurts all the people that aren't cheating. So if everyone has the same blank slate, you know what I mean? If everyone is playing by the same rules, it's just more fair. Like, even yesterday, I got clipped for a shot clock violation.
Right.
And it is what it is. You know, what do I do? Get back on the mound and keep pitching. So I'm playing with the same rules everyone else is. And I appreciate that because I'm not doing steroids.
Right.
I don't have sticky shit on my hand anymore.
Yeah.
You know, and we're not, the technology is obviously with the pitch com, it's harder to steal signs and things like that. So it just gives everybody the same opportunity, which, hell, I think if you went back and asked those guys that weren't doing steroids in the 90s and 2000s, they'd have loved it.
Right.
I'd have loved it because there's guys that lost jobs, got money taken out of their pocket, didn't extend their career as long, didn't have career earnings like some of these other people. So, yeah, I mean, it's better for the players, I think. That's just my opinion.
Right. So of all those things, what pisses you off the most? I mean, there's a lot, like you said, as you're talking, I'm thinking, holy shit, there's a lot of stuff that you had to deal with, right?
Well, not just...
Well, not only you, but I'm telling you, yeah. But, you know, it's like there's a lot, because everyone's trying to get an upper hand. But in, like how you said, you're just trying to do things. You go out, you play baseball, there it is.
Yeah, for me, the thing that would make me the most upset is the steroids or the HGH or whatever you want to do. If you fail a drug test for a performance-enhancing drug, that's going to light me up the most, just because I think it gives the most competitive advantage. The sticky stuff, yeah, it does. It'll give you a competitive advantage, but I even think if you ask most hitters, they didn't even really mind it that much. But I understand why the rule's intact. With the performance-enhancing stuff, like, I would have been the perfect candidate my entire career to do it. You know, everyone said I wasn't built to last, right, or whatever, and I feel like I proved that wrong for the most part early on in my career. Who's to say some 6 foot, 660-pound, 21-year-old showing up to the big leagues, you know, hey, get a couple shots, bulk up to 205, you're going to throw just as hard, maybe a little bit harder, but the recovery is where it's at.
Yeah, for pitchers, it's not like, you know, being Adonis, it's like recovery, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
Your arm feels just amazing after 2-3 days off, you know, and you feel 100% every time out. That's just not fair. That's just not fair. Yeah. On top of the fact that now I've gone through some injuries. Tommy John, you know, some of these other things, and it's like, HGH would have helped me out tremendously in the short period of time.
Sure.
You know, obviously long-term, there's long-term effects. I would never recommend anybody doing this ever.
Yeah.
But if I was just a cheater and selfish and whatever, I could have done those things over this period of time, and I would have been stronger. I'd have come back quicker. I'd have felt better, blah, 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 so on and so forth. So when I see other people doing that that don't even need it, it pisses me off.
What's the level of it? Like you said, it's hard to completely get it out. But what's the level of that compared to, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago?
I honestly couldn't tell you. I couldn't tell you the stats. I mean, I'm sure someone has them somewhere.
Right. But you think it's better? Like, it comes back to what the beginning of this conversation, where it's like, this is why we're trying to get back to baseball, right?
Yeah.
It's better.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And I think, like I said, we're getting drug tested more. So, I mean, the fact that guys are still getting popped means that guys are still doing it.
Yeah.
If guys are getting popped, guys are getting away with it.
Yeah.
Right? So they're not catching 100% of the bank robbers, right? So, you know, it's tough, but, you know, I appreciate what they're trying to do. You know, they're trying to clean up the game without taking the pureness of it. You know what I mean? It's not like we're playing seven-inning games. Maybe the runner on second base is a little wishy-washy, but, again, you know, a lot of these things are going to be great. Some people might like them, some people might not. But I think the end goal is to make this game better, make it more popular, and just more pure.
I go back to, you know, we talk about the technology. I mean, remember, we all know what happened in Houston and everything else, but even in 2018, I remember thinking in April, like, why are you guys giving multiple signs and nobody on? And I remember talking to Vasky about, like, well, because everyone's cheating, right? So this is before everything blew up. But think about, like, what it was like now, then, compared to now. I guess it's a step in the right direction, because there's so much stuff that you guys had to do, right?
I think the better question is, think about if it hadn't happened.
Yeah.
Think about if
it didn't blow up.
Correct.
Yeah.
Think about where we'd be at now. The PitchCom wouldn't be a thing. I don't know that to be true. But, I mean, it would have been full-on conspiracy theories. Like,
it was also getting out of, like, it was probably, whatever it was then, it would have been twice as much now.
That's what I'm saying. It would have gotten way out of hand.
Yeah.
It would have been hard to pitch. It would have just been hard to play baseball, because when I'm pitching out there now, all I got to worry about is tipping my pitches. Like, if my glove's like this on a fastball and like this on a slider, I deserve to get my butt kicked, right? But if you're finding a way to do that without, it's just not right. And I'm glad that they've taken the necessary steps to clean that up, because, like I said, we're just getting back to more pure baseball. I watch my 12-year-old son play all the time. That is baseball.
Yeah.
They're not fixing their chains. They're not relaying signs from second base, you know, praying to whoever, yada, 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 so on and so forth. All the stuff that is just wasteful in a game.
Yeah.
The pitcher throws the pitch, gets the ball back, and steps back on the mound. And it's like, where does it get lost? Like, at what level does it get lost to just...
Well, where did it get lost? I mean, the fact is, like...
Well, I'll tell you. I mean, I'm going to keep watching my son play.
Yeah.
So when he gets to high school, see if it's a little bit slower. When he gets to college, and you see when the guys start really wanting to taste themselves a little bit.
Yeah. Well, I mean, but that's... The problem is everyone thinks that the other... And, I mean, I remember, and, of course, I got to ask you also, what's the third book that you have?
What's that?
You said, what's the third book you have? You said, now you have it.
Damn, perfect. You, Louie, and Hawk Harrelson.
Hawk Harrelson, okay.
Yeah.
All right, so that's good. So, but as one of your three books, The Damn Near Perfect Game, we were talking about how the competitive nature of it, like, this is what led to all this. Like, that guy's doing it, so that guy has to do it. And so you have how old's your son now?
12.
So it used to be where 12 years old, you start worrying about Joey around the corner. Now it's like, oh, do you see the 6-year-old on YouTube or on Instagram? Right? You probably see that, like the competitive keeping up with whatever. And so, well, what can I, and obviously with the major leagues, it's to an extreme because, you know, but there's that element of, we like to think that we'd just go out and play, but there's always that, am I wrong?
No, you're right though. I mean, they're always looking for competitive. I mean, you got 10-year-olds snapping off curveballs now.
Yeah.
You got 11, 12-year-olds throwing 120 pitches in a weekend. That can't happen.
No.
You know what I mean? And I, you know, it's... Again, like, there are some rules that are set in place. Like, a lot of the tournaments my son plays in, it's like, hey, listen, you got 6 innings the whole weekend. Or there's a pitch count. There's either an inning limit or a pitch count. And I'll be honest, my son's coach is amazing. Like, he won't sacrifice a player for a win.
Yeah.
Because he knows too much. He cares too much about the kids. Winning is great, but, like, at that age... you got to teach them to take care of themselves too. So he's not running people out there for 135 pitches at 12 years old.
So
it's life though, man.
Yeah.
I don't care what business they're in, what you do, there's always some kind of, might not be competitive, but somebody's always looking for an advantage of some kind. And I felt before, but. Even my wife has asked me, like, do you think about getting hit?
Yeah.
You know, like, with like that was not fun to go through, obviously, Yankee Stadium. And I've had some people ask me, like, hey, do you think about it? And I do, but not while I'm out there.
Yeah.
These accidents cross my mind periodically just because it's something that happened in my life and it's just a reoccurring event, you know, and I think about it, like the crash and the pinky, that whole thing. But it's just different once you get on the field, once your adrenaline, once you're competing, once there's stakes. I never would have thought about that at all. Like, it was the farthest thing from my mind. So it's just kind of what comes with the territory, you know? I mean, shoot, look at what happened to JT yesterday. You know, I mean, that's I'll take a broken pinky over that all day long.
Yeah.
He didn't break bones,
right?
And I would still take this over that because that's tough, man. That's not something.
As a player, we talk about like loving the game and everything else, but as a player, as a friend, as a teammate, and everything, it's hard. I mean, you still had to go out there and do this and all this, but that's a reminder, just like you have your reminders, right? That whether it's your pinky, whatever it is, like that,
yeah.
It can change this, right?
Yeah, sure. But yeah, it's one of those things, like, those are just kind of things that happen within the game. It's like, when you sign up to do this, holding up that trophy is great, but this is some of the stuff that comes with it, too.
Yeah.
So you got to be prepared for that, and it takes a certain Brazier's a perfect example. I mean,
I was saying that.
One of the scariest things I've ever seen.
Did you see it?
I didn't see it live.
Oh, you saw it on video.
I was out here.
So we're talking about the 104 miles an hour backline drive by the head.
Off his freaking head.
Yeah, yeah.
Ripped the top of the chair off. And he got back out there and did it.
Yeah.
And, like, that was, you know, not to be mushy-gushy, but that's inspiring to see.
Right,
like,
right.
The guy just got crushed. I mean, I went and visited him in the hospital, the whole nine, and it was rough for a little bit.
Yeah.
And, so, like, I see him do that. I've seen other, you know, obviously other guys been hit. You just get through it, you know.
Yeah. Do you love baseball? Here's the mushy-gushy question, right? Do you love baseball now as much as you ever have? Because, you know, life changes, responsibilities change.
Yeah.
You know, you have assholes like me asking you questions or whatever. I mean, it's just like, but do you love baseball as much as you ever have? Or is it just different?
I love it the same. I think I appreciate it more.
Okay.
I don't know, man. Like, I don't even really know how to explain it, but I'm like a 4-year-old
who
has his favorite toy,
yeah.
And I'm playing with this toy every single day, all day, having the time of my life, the whole thing. And then all of a sudden, somebody just goes, "All right, toy's gone."
Yeah,
it's kind of lost for a little bit, man.
Yeah.
Like, you're just like, okay, well, what am I doing?
Yeah,
what's the deal? What's the process? And then. Get it back, and then it gets taken again. And then you get it back, and it gets taken. And you're just like, God, what? It's just, it definitely takes some out of you. But, you know, like I tell my kids, I say this to my kids all the time, and I try to live by it too. You got two options. You can do it, or you can complain about it.
Yeah.
Because it's got to be done either way. Taking out the trash. The trash has to go out. So you can either take it out, or you can go, oh, but, you know, poor me, blah, blah. You're still going to have to take out the trash.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's happening either way. So I can either come here and be an asshole and pout in the corner all day and still have to get my work in, or I can come here and have fun and be a good teammate and have good vibes.
So here's my perspective of watching this stupid thing, like our 40 minutes in the media in the clubhouse. But you were always, when you came in here, you were the star, right? You were the guy. And you had, I always appreciated how much you prioritized work. And, you know, you gave us time, but you were prioritizing work. Now it almost seems like you're still prioritizing work, but I see more smiles on your face, I guess. I mean, you know, like, and I know, again, not to, like, but I that's my perception of it a little bit. And maybe it is because it's like, yeah, you're not, here's the Chris Sale coming from the White Sox. He's the guy that's going to lead us to the World Series and everything else. I don't know. Am I wrong?
It's just one of those things where you just kind of got to...
He's like, no, Poppy, damn!
I think it's one of those things more of I just know it's not going to last forever. You know, as of right now, I got this year and next year, and that's all I'm really guaranteed, you know. And so I want to have fun, you know. And I felt like before you kind of have this trailer hitch to you, pulling weight from all the things.
The expectations, the contract, like all the stuff, yeah.
You know, and in a weird way, how much worse can that be? Like, how much worse can it be? Honestly, like, I've completely fucked the last 3 years of my highest paid contract years, right? I have nothing to lose. Like, everyone that hates me is gonna just hate me. You know what I mean? It just is what it is. My dad even said this morning, he sent me a funny text, and I said, at this point, I'd rather them still hate me. You know, don't switch sides now. You know, yeah. If you were just talking shit, hating me a couple months ago, stay on it. You know, stay on it. And be consistent.
Yeah.
But I perspective is a big portion of that, you know. And again, it's not going to last forever. I can be miserable the next couple of years and just get through it, or I can have fun and try to dominate.
Yeah.
And if it works out, it works out. If not, what do you do?
Well, like I said, I mean, it's a great perspective. That it's not easy. Like I can say it's a great perspective to have. I did not have the expectations that you did. I know, you know, few people have lived the life that you had to live, right? And then you can talk about the last 3 years or whatever it is, but the life that you had to live was this guy who was coming here with a ton of expectations as the guy who's going to lead us to the World Series and then the contract and everything else. That's something else, right? That's a different part. Like,
yeah.
But now it's... that's come and gone.
Yeah.
You know, which is good. It's a good thing, because now you can just be a baseball player.
I think that's what it is. It's like I've kind of let go of all that stuff. Like, I'm just...
it's hard to let go initially, though, of it.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
There's no question. But like I said before, I want to start having fun again. Like, this game was a lot of fun for me for a while. You know, it might not have looked like it all the time, but I enjoyed myself, and I liked doing what I love competing. I love competing.
Yeah.
And, you know, I had a couple different roads I could have gone down, you know, and I had too many people in my life just pushing me towards where I'm at now, you know.
You talking about the last couple of years?
Like I said yesterday, my friends, my family, strength coaches, teammates, mental skills guys, trainers. I mean, like I said, you can literally take a name from everybody in this building and pick one out, and I can tell you a story about how they made me better, how they, you know, pushed me to be a better person, be more fun, be more happy, you know, and just all this stuff. And it wouldn't be fair to them if I chose to be an asshole, honestly. Like, you know.
You said down the road, this is a cliche question, but was there ever that road where, like, I just want to be with my family?
Yeah, I mean, I guess yes and no. I don't know if I was ever serious about it, but there are some days you're like, okay. Because not for nothing, I mean, when something bad happens to you, and then something else bad happens, and then something else bad, and then something else, like... I mean, you're talking 900 days of, like, just almost, it just seemed like something else every other week,
so
every month.
Not to mention,
you know, I got a kid throwing up on a couch while all this stuff is going on. A kid's got pink eye, and, you know, the flu, whatever it is. So you just kind of get in this just melting pot of shit. You know, just, you almost just wait, you know, you wake up waiting for the next bad thing to happen. And, man, that's just not clean living. That is not.
Right. And you're like, I like baseball, but, you know, I like this life, but maybe this is another life. Which,
yeah, when it's just, I got men to raise too, man. I got three sons looking up to me.
Yeah.
And I need them to be strong men when they grow up.
So this was another part of it, is to persevere and to power through, to show them.
No question.
Yeah.
No question. And not to mention my father, my uncles, my grandfathers. Hardworking men. I'm not going to be the break in the chain, you know. And if I'm the break in the chain, how long is that break going to last? Is it going to last my three sons? Will it last their sons? I'm not saying that this is the perfect recipe to raise my sons the best way, but I can tell you, if I was salty, miserable, pouting, feeling sorry for myself, they would see that, you know. And that's just something that can't happen at such an influential time in their life. I got 3, 6, and 12. So, like, they need me to be who I am, just like my teammates need me to be who I am, just like the owners, the fan base, my coaches, everybody, they need me to be who I am. So, you know, chose this path.
And today, as you sit here, you like who you are. I mean, a lot of people are, you know, happy for you.
Yeah,
it's a good day.
Yeah, no, I keep saying it. Like, I just appreciate. I just appreciate everybody. You know, everyone just coming up and picking me up and saying, "Hey, man, you looked good yesterday. Hey, you know, you're working hard. We appreciate how you do. You know, whatever it is, that's who I need to be, and that's who I enjoy being. I'm having more fun at this spring training than probably any other.
Are you really? Oh wow, look at you. Even though this is Florida, not Arizona. I mean,
Well,
I actually told that to the wrong person. I've been saying that because I experienced Arizona for the first time ever. I'm like, this is awesome. Like 20 minutes away, blah, blah, blah. But I forgot you live here.
No, I did love Arizona spring training.
Yeah. But so this is the most fun you've had in spring training.
I would say I just feel like I got a new life.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
Game over was on the screen. I got 5 more Mario lives. Glad I'm not going to waste a single one of them.
Last thing is, I ask everybody, why isn't baseball boring? And there's no wrong answers.
Why isn't baseball boring? Because there's something new every single day. Mm. You can see something wild happen. The craziest thing. 5-run comeback in 1 inning. Mm. The best pitcher in the league get crushed. The worst pitcher in the league throw a no-hitter. Mm-hmm. Home run from a small guy, 4 strikeouts from the big guy. Like any kind of concoction can happen. Mm. And you hear it all the time. I've been in this game for 30 years. It's the first time I've ever seen it. Yearly basis, right. Monthly basis, you know. So
that's good. That's a good one.
Yeah,
that's a good one. All right, man. I appreciate it.
No problem, dude.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.